everyone, welcome back. We're going deep today into a lecture all about inductive Bible study.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lecture transcript, actually, by Dr. David Bauer. Mm. And we're going to kind of like pull out the key principles of this approach to studying the Bible and, you know, maybe see how it can unlock some deeper understanding of Scripture.
For sure.
You know, buckle up, though, because some of this might be a little surprising. Yeah. For instance, did you know that some scholars view the Bible as like our adversary?
What?
I know, right? We'll unpack what that means.
I'm interested.
We're also going to look at why jumping right into commentaries before really wrestling with the text yourself can actually rob you of the joy of discovery.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then this idea that a passage can have more than one right meaning.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I think people are going to really enjoy this. And this approach can really breathe new life into how we approach Bible study.
Okay, so let's just start with the basics. What is inductive Bible study?
Yeah.
Dr. Bauer describes it as like an evidential approach.
Okay.
What does that mean? And how is that different from maybe the way a lot of us have been taught to study the Bible?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it really gets at like the heart of how we approach the text.
Okay.
Think of it kind of like being a detective. You know,
okay.
You're looking for clues.
Right.
Inductive means that you're letting the evidence lead you to your conclusions.
Mm.
So you observe, you gather those clues, and then you piece together the meaning based on what you find.
Oh, okay.
So it's like building a case from the ground up.
So you're not starting with like a preconceived idea and then trying to make the text fit into that.
That's right.
Okay.
That would be more of a deductive approach.
Right.
Where you start with a presupposition.
Yeah.
And you search for evidence to support it.
Yeah.
Now, there's a time and place for that kind of study, too, but it can sometimes lead us down a path where we're more focused on confirming our existing beliefs than really like listening to what the text is saying.
Yeah, like putting blinders on almost.
Right.
And only seeing what you want to see.
Exactly.
Dr. Bauer mentions that even relying solely on commentaries can kind of have that same effect.
Oh, interesting.
It's almost like you're letting somebody else do the detective work for you.
Yeah.
I'll admit I'm guilty of that sometimes.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
Yeah, commentaries are great resources. You know, they offer insights from scholars and theologians.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go straight to the commentary before we've wrestled with the text ourselves, we miss out on that aha moment.
Yeah, those aha moments are so great.
Right. It's like finding hidden treasure.
Yes, exactly.
You know, just like searching for hidden treasure, the real joy comes from the process of discovery.
Yeah.
So I think commentary should be more like a guidebook we consult along the way.
Okay.
Not the treasure map itself.
So if we're approaching the Bible like detectives, how do we avoid letting our own biases and assumptions kind of cloud our judgment?
That's where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
We all come to the text with our own baggage, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Dr. Bauer brings up a point that Martin Luther made.
Okay.
Who described the Bible as adversarius noster, which is Latin for our adversary.
Wait, our adversary? That sounds a little intense.
Yeah.
Does that mean the Bible is like against us?
Not exactly.
Okay.
It's more about the way the Bible challenges our assumptions.
Okay.
And it nudges us to re-examine our perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always tell us what we want to hear.
Right.
Sometimes it confronts us with uncomfortable truths.
Yeah.
And that can feel like a battle.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
But how do we know when our assumptions are being challenged? What are some signs that we might be kind of imposing our own ideas onto the text?
One way is to pay attention to how the text makes you feel.
Okay.
Does it make you uncomfortable?
All right.
Does it challenge a long-held belief?
Mm-hmm.
Does it make you want to argue with it?
Oh, interesting.
Those are all signs that the text might be pushing back against your presuppositions.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
So it's not about ignoring our presuppositions,
right?
But about being aware of them and how they might be influencing our reading.
Exactly.
Okay.
We can't erase our own perspectives, but we can become more conscious of them and how they might be shaping our understanding.
Okay.
It's like holding them up to the light,
examining
them in the context of Scripture.
So if recognizing our presuppositions is step one, what's step two in this detective work?
Well, Dr. Bauer emphasizes that it's not just about mechanics.
Okay.
You know, like there's a process to follow.
Right.
It's about approaching the text with the right attitude and the right tools.
Okay.
And he quotes Brevard Childs, who said, "To become a better interpreter of Scripture, we need to become deeper people." What does it mean to be a deeper person in this context?
I think it means cultivating a willingness to learn, to be challenged.
And to grow.
Oh, grow.
It's about recognizing that our understanding of Scripture is always evolving as we grow in our faith and our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
Yeah, the richer your inner world, the more you bring to the text and the more the text kind of speaks back to you.
It's a beautiful cycle.
Yeah.
You know, our experiences inform our reading.
Yeah.
And our reading deepens our understanding of ourselves and the world.
That's so cool.
And that brings us to the importance of direct study.
Okay.
Which Dr. Bauer illustrates with a kind of amusing anecdote about a course on the book of Acts.
Oh, tell me about this.
He talks about this course.
Yeah.
Where students were assigned a commentary on Acts.
Okay.
But they weren't actually required to read Acts itself.
Oh, wow.
Sounds absurd, right?
Yeah.
But it highlights a common pitfall.
Yeah.
Letting someone else's interpretation become a substitute for our own engagement with the text.
That's a great example of how relying too heavily on commentaries can hinder our understanding. It's like trying to learn about a new city by only looking at postcards.
Yes.
You get the highlights, but you miss the richness and complexity of the actual experience.
Exactly.
So direct study is about immersing ourselves in the text, allowing it to speak to us directly, forming our own conclusions based on what we discover.
It's about getting our hands dirty,
so to speak,
and experiencing the text firsthand.
So direct study is key.
Yes.
But we don't want to throw out commentaries altogether.
No, they're still valuable.
They still have their place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Commentaries can be incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
But they should be used strategically.
Okay.
You know, they can provide historical context. They can shed light on difficult passages.
Right.
And they can offer alternative interpretations that we might not have thought of.
Right.
But we need to remember that they are tools to enhance our own understanding, not to replace it.
That's a good distinction. So we've talked about individual study, but Dr. Bauer also mentions the importance of communal study.
Yes.
How do those two approaches kind of work together in inductive Bible study?
Well, this is where I think we start to see the full picture.
Hmm.
The Bible itself addresses both individuals and communities.
Right.
Think about the Mosaic Law, you know, with its individual commandments.
Right.
And those for the entire nation of Israel.
Right.
And then we see this mirrored in the New Testament, too.
Yeah.
With Paul's letters addressing both individual believers and whole churches.
It's like there's a built-in recognition that we need both individual wrestling with the text and then that collective wisdom of the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are times when individual study is our only option.
Right.
Like when we're reading on our own or preparing for a personal reflection.
Yeah.
But communal study.
Yeah.
Whether it's a formal Bible study group, a discussion with friends,
right,
or even engaging with those commentaries we talked about can provide valuable insights that we might miss on our own.
It's like having a sounding board to make sure our interpretations are grounded and, you know, not totally out there.
Absolutely.
I know I've had those moments where I read something and I think, wait, am I way off base here?
Yeah.
So having that community is valuable.
Yeah. It's incredibly enriching.
Yeah.
We gain new perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
We challenge each other's assumptions.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think we arrive at a deeper, more nuanced understanding of the text.
It sounds like there's a beautiful synergy between the individual and the communal aspects.
There is.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the multifaceted nature of Scripture itself.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible was written by individuals inspired by God.
Right.
Addressed to both individuals and communities.
Right.
And has been interpreted by countless individuals and communities throughout history.
Wow.
It's like this tapestry.
Yeah.
Woven together by a multitude of voices.
Mm-hmm.
And both individual and communal study allow us to appreciate the richness of that tapestry.
Speaking of the richness of Scripture, Dr. Bauer brings up this concept called multivalence.
Okay.
Which kind of challenges this idea that every passage has only one right meaning.
Right.
And he uses the example of John 11.35.
Okay.
Jesus wept.
Yeah.
How can a verse that short have more than one possible interpretation?
Right.
Like, what's going on there?
That's where things get really fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, it might seem counterintuitive, but multivalence simply means that a passage can have multiple layers of meaning.
Okay.
And in the case of Jesus wept, we see this beautifully illustrated.
Okay.
You know, it's possible Jesus was weeping out of grief for Lazarus, even though he knew he was going to raise him from the dead.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Death is still sorrowful.
Yeah.
Even if you know resurrection is coming.
Right.
But there's also evidence to suggest that Jesus might have been weeping for the mourners.
Oh, interesting.
You know, seeing their grief as a lack of faith in the resurrection.
Wow. Okay. So that's a completely different way of looking at it.
It is. Yeah. So which interpretation is right?
Well, that's the beauty of multivalence.
Okay.
Both can be valid.
Okay.
And they don't necessarily contradict each other.
Okay. So how do we navigate this?
Yeah.
This makes things a little more confusing.
It makes things more complex.
Okay.
But not necessarily confusing.
Okay.
And Dr. Bauer introduces this concept of determinacy and indeterminacy.
Right.
Which basically means that some passages have a narrower range of possible interpretations than others.
Okay.
It's like some have more wiggle room.
Right.
But there are still boundaries.
So even with multivalence, there are limits to what a passage can legitimately mean.
Exactly.
It's not just a free-for-all.
Right.
Okay.
And this is where I think communal study becomes even more crucial.
Okay.
You know, by engaging with other interpretations, mm-hmm. we can test our own understanding
yeah.
and see if it aligns with the broader Christian tradition. It's like having a safety net to make sure you're not going too far out on a limb.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about finding that sweet spot
yeah.
between respecting the text, mm-hmm. acknowledging individual perspectives,
right.
and staying grounded in the wisdom of the community.
This is all so fascinating.
Yeah.
It feels like we've just scratched the surface of inductive Bible study.
Yeah.
But before we dive deeper, I want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Can you recap some of the key principles that we've talked about so far?
Absolutely. So we talked about approaching the Bible like detectives.
Yeah.
Letting the evidence lead us to conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed the importance of recognizing our presuppositions.
Right.
And being willing to have them challenged by the text.
Right.
We explore the value of both direct study and communal study.
Yeah.
And how those two work together to deepen our understanding.
Yeah.
And then we touched on that fascinating concept of multivalence.
Right.
And how a passage can have multiple valid interpretations.
This is all so insightful. Oh. And I'm sure our listeners are eager to learn more.
I bet.
But we've covered a lot of ground already.
We have.
And I think it's time for a little break.
Okay. Sounds good.
We'll come back and talk about how to put these principles into practice.
All right. Looking forward to it.
All right. We're back and ready to kind of dive even deeper into the world of inductive Bible study.
Mm. Yeah.
We laid some good groundwork, I think, in the first segment,
mm-hmm.
but I'm ready to get into like the practical side of things.
Okay.
How do we actually put these principles into action?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it can feel overwhelming.
Right.
Like I'm just standing at the foot of this massive mountain of scripture.
Yeah.
Not sure where to even begin.
I understand that feeling completely.
Yeah.
I think it's a common experience for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, inductive Bible study isn't about conquering the mountain all at once.
Okay.
It's about taking it one step at a time.
Right.
One passage at a time. And allowing the process to kind of unfold naturally.
So where do we even begin?
Yeah.
Do you have any practical tips for maybe like choosing a passage to study?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It can be helpful to start with a passage that speaks to you personally.
Okay.
Something that you're already curious about.
Okay.
Or wrestling with in your own life.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It's like choosing a recipe to cook. You're more likely to be excited about it if it's something you enjoy eating.
Exactly.
Okay.
And just like a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
There are different ingredients that go into understanding a passage.
Okay.
And you know, we've talked about the importance of direct study.
Right.
But I think now we can really delve into the how of that process.
I'm all ears.
Okay.
What are some tools we can use to really unpack a passage?
One technique I find really helpful.
Okay.
Is to read the passage multiple times.
Okay.
Each time. With a different focus.
Okay.
So the first time, just read for basic comprehension.
Okay.
Get a feel for the overall flow and message. The second time, pay attention to the details.
Okay.
Look for keywords,
mm-hmm.
repeated phrases.
Right.
Literary devices, like metaphors or similes.
I like that. It's
yeah.
like watching a movie multiple times. You know, you catch different things each time.
Exactly.
Story gets richer.
And then on your third reading,
okay.
try to put yourself in the shoes of the original audience.
Okay.
What were their cultural norms?
Right.
What were their beliefs and assumptions?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding the historical context can unlock a whole new layer of meaning.
Yeah, that's crucial. Otherwise, you're imposing our 21st century worldview
right.
onto a text that was written thousands of years ago.
It would be like trying to understand Shakespeare.
Right.
Without knowing anything about Elizabethan England.
Exactly.
And just like with Shakespeare,
yeah.
sometimes we need a little help understanding the nuances of the language.
Okay.
And that's where tools like concordances, lexicons, and even commentaries can be valuable.
But we have to remember not to let those resources do the thinking for us.
Absolutely.
Right.
They're meant to be guides, not crutches.
Right.
Think of them like expert consultants.
Okay.
Who can offer insights and perspectives.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we're the ones making the decisions.
So we've observed the passage.
Okay.
Gathered our clues. Mm-hmm. Consulted with our expert consultants.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Now the real detective work begins.
Okay.
One of the most important things to remember is that scripture interprets scripture.
Oh, okay.
So we need to consider how our interpretation of this specific passage
right.
aligns with the overall message of the Bible.
So if our understanding of a passage is clashing with the broader themes and teachings of the Bible,
right.
that's a red flag.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's like having a puzzle piece that doesn't quite fit.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That helps me visualize it.
Yeah.
Okay, so consistency with the overall message of the Bible.
Yes.
That's key.
It is.
What are some other guidelines we can use to kind of make sure that we're on the right track?
Another important factor is consistency within the passage itself.
Okay.
Does our interpretation make sense in light of the surrounding verses?
Right.
Does it flow logically?
Yeah.
Sometimes we can get so focused on a single verse or a phrase
right.
that we lose sight of the larger context.
Yeah, it's like trying to understand a sentence
right.
without reading the whole paragraph.
Exactly.
You might get the wrong idea.
And speaking of context...
Yeah.
Don't forget about the historical and cultural context we talked about earlier.
Right.
Does our interpretation align with what we know about the author, the audience,
right.
and the historical setting of the passage?
Right. We need to remember that the Bible was written in a specific time and place.
Yes.
And that context shapes the meaning.
It does.
Okay.
And let's not forget about our own presuppositions.
Right.
We talked about how the Bible can be our adversary,
yeah.
challenging our assumptions.
Right.
So it's crucial to ask ourselves,
okay,
am I reading my own biases into this passage?
Mm-hmm.
Am I letting my personal preferences kind of cloud my judgment?
That takes a lot of self-awareness.
It does.
And humility.
Humility to be able to do that.
But it's essential for accurate interpretation.
Okay.
We need to be willing to set aside our own agendas.
Yeah.
And approach the text with an open mind and a humble heart.
Okay, so we've got consistency with the overall message of the Bible.
Okay.
Consistency within the passage itself.
Yes.
Awareness of the historical and cultural context.
Right.
Willingness to check our own biases at the door.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we need to consider when we're interpreting scripture?
Well, sometimes I think we get so caught up in the big picture.
Okay.
That we overlook the details.
Right.
And it's important to pay attention to the individual words and phrases.
Okay.
To understand the nuances of the language.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like appreciating a painting.
Yeah. You know, we can admire the overall composition, but we need to zoom in and examine the individual brushstrokes.
That's a beautiful analogy.
To fully appreciate the technique.
And just like with a painting.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need a magnifying glass.
Right.
To see those fine details.
Mm.
And that's where concordances and lexicons can come in handy.
Right.
They can help us understand the original Hebrew or Greek words, explore different shades of meaning,
right.
and uncover layers of depth that we might otherwise miss.
I love that image of uncovering layers of depth. It makes me think of like an archaeological dig.
Yes.
Where each layer you excavate
right.
reveals more about the past.
Exactly.
This all makes so much sense. But I'll be honest, I'm still a little intimidated by the whole process.
Sure.
It feels like there's so much to consider.
Yeah.
So many potential pitfalls.
I hear you.
How do we know if we're doing it right?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's one that a lot of people wrestle with. The truth is, there's no single right way to do inductive Bible study.
Okay.
It's a journey, not a destination.
Okay.
And like any journey, there will be bumps along the way.
Right.
The key is to approach the process with humility, curiosity,
yeah,
and a willingness to learn.
So it's okay to make mistakes.
Absolutely.
It's okay to not have all the answers.
In fact, I would argue that making mistakes is an essential part of the learning process.
Okay.
It's through our struggles, our questions.
Right.
And even our misinterpretations that we grow in our understanding.
That's freeing.
Yeah.
Takes the pressure off
yeah.
of having to be perfect.
Remember, the goal of inductive Bible study isn't to become a biblical scholar overnight.
Right.
It's about cultivating a deeper, more intimate relationship with God through His Word.
Okay.
It's about allowing Scripture to shape our hearts, our minds, and our lives.
Okay, so we've talked about observing the text.
Yeah.
considering the context, paying attention to those individual words.
Right.
But how do we move from understanding the text
right.
to actually applying it to our lives?
That's where the rubber meets the road.
That feels like a whole other challenge.
And that's what we'll explore next.
All right. So we've made it, you know, we've gone through the ins and outs of observing a passage,
yeah.
interpreting it accurately.
Right.
And now for the million-dollar question.
Okay.
How do we take all this knowledge and make it relevant to our lives?
That's the big question, right?
Yeah, how do we bridge that gap between head knowledge and heart transformation?
It's one thing to understand the historical context of Leviticus.
Right.
Or unpack the symbolism in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But how does that translate into living a more Christ-like life?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
On a Monday morning.
I've been there so many times, I feel like.
I think we all have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can spend hours digging into a passage, and I feel like I've really gotten it.
Well,
and then nothing...
Yeah.
It doesn't stick. It doesn't change anything.
And Dr. Bauer addresses this in his lecture.
Okay.
He points out that application isn't just some automatic formula.
Okay.
You know, it's not like baking a cake where you just follow the recipe and boom.
Right.
You have a perfectly risen dessert every time.
So what's the secret ingredient? How do we make sure that our Bible study actually leads to real life transformation?
Well, one key ingredient is being intentional about asking the right questions.
Okay.
You know, it's not enough to just read a passage and say, okay, that was nice.
Yeah.
We need to dig deeper.
Right.
Wrestle with the text.
Okay.
And ask ourselves how it applies to our specific circumstances.
What kind of questions should we be asking?
Well, Dr. Bauer suggests a framework that I find really helpful.
Okay.
He talks about looking for three key elements in every passage.
Okay.
Is there a sin to confess?
Okay.
A promise to claim?
Mm-hmm.
Or a command to obey?
I like that it's simple, but it covers a lot of ground.
It does.
So let's say I'm reading a passage about forgiveness. How would I use that framework to apply it to my life?
You might ask yourself,
yeah,
is there any bitterness or resentment I'm harboring towards someone?
Okay.
That I need to confess to God?
Right.
Is there someone I need to forgive even if they haven't asked for it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the sin to confess aspect.
That's powerful. It makes you think about your own personal relationships.
Right. It goes beyond just understanding the concept of forgiveness.
Right.
And it forces you to confront how it plays out in your own life.
Then you would move on to the promise to claim.
Right. You could ask.
Yeah.
Do I need to remind myself of God's promise to forgive me?
Mm.
To offer grace and mercy even when I mess up?
Right.
Claiming that promise can bring immense comfort and peace.
Yeah, it's like anchoring yourself to the truth.
Yes.
Even when your emotions are kind of pulling you in a different direction.
Absolutely. And then finally, there's the command to obey.
Mm, okay.
So in the context of forgiveness, you might ask.
Yeah.
How can I practically live out the command to forgive others?
Mm.
To extend grace and mercy, just as God has extended it to me.
That's where the rubber meets the road.
It is.
But sometimes that step feels so daunting.
It can be. But remember, application isn't a one-time event.
Okay.
It's an ongoing process.
Okay.
Of aligning our lives with God's truth. It's about making small daily choices.
Okay.
That reflect what we're learning in Scripture.
So it's not about striving for perfection or becoming a superhero overnight.
No.
Okay.
It's about taking baby steps.
Right.
In the right direction.
Okay. And sometimes the most profound applications aren't the big sweeping gestures.
That's right.
But those small little shifts.
Exactly.
Okay, so can you give me an example of what that looks like?
Sure. Imagine you're struggling with anxiety.
Okay.
You've been reading passages about God's peace,
mm-hmm.
but it feels kind of like this elusive concept.
Right.
And then one day you're in a really stressful situation.
Yeah.
And instead of panicking, you instinctively pause and whisper a prayer.
Okay.
You choose to trust God. Instead of giving it to fear,
mm-hmm.
that's application in action.
Wow. That's a good illustration.
Yeah.
It's not about changing our circumstances, but about changing how we respond to them.
Exactly. It's about letting Scripture rewire our thinking patterns.
Okay. So if we're being intentional about asking those right questions.
Right.
Being patient with the process.
Yeah.
Focusing on those small shifts.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the right track.
You got. And remember, we don't have to do this alone.
Right.
Dr. Bauer emphasizes the importance of community in the application process.
Yeah.
You know, sharing our insights,
mm.
our struggles,
right.
our questions with others can provide accountability,
right.
encouragement,
yeah.
and new perspectives.
It's like having a team of Sherpas.
Yes.
Helping you navigate this treacherous terrain.
That's a great analogy.
For spiritual growth.
we could learn from each other's experiences.
Right.
Support each other through challenges and celebrate each other's victories.
This has been such an illuminating deep dive.
It has.
I feel like we've explored the depths of inductive Bible study.
I think so.
From observing the text to interpreting it accurately to applying it to our lives.
Yeah, it's been a great journey.
It's been a great journey.
Yeah.
I'm a little sad to see it end.
I know what you mean, but remember, this isn't the end.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning.
Okay.
The real adventure lies in taking what we've learned
right.
and putting it into practice day by day,
yeah.
passage by passage.
So as we wrap up this deep dive,
okay.
I want to leave our listeners with a challenge.
I like it.
Choose a passage that speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Grab your Bible and notebook, maybe even a few trusted friends.
Yeah.
And embark on your own inductive Bible study adventure.
Love it.
Don't be afraid to ask tough questions.
Right.
Wrestle with the text and let God's word transform your life from the inside out.
That's great.
And if you want to learn more from Dr. Bauer, be sure to check out his full lecture.
Yes.
And the book that he co-authored with Dr. Trina.
Great resource.
Until next time, happy studying.
Happy studying.